Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. I'm joined here today by Sherry Patterson and Michael Patterson, who are co-hosting with me, and we have a very special guest. Her name is Kiala Wesley. She is a former professional within the hair industry, and we're just continuing our conversation on Black hair, and I'm just so happy that we're here today with Kiala, Michael, and Sherry. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Kiala, this is Sherry, and we've known each other for years, and I'm just excited that you said yes to join us today to continue our conversation on our culture's hair. It's a great conversation. So we want to just start by asking you to introduce yourself, where you're from, and then we'll go from there.
Good. Thank you so much. My name is Kiala Wesley. It used to be White, but I am Wesley. Always been a Wesley, always will be. So just for the clarification.
Okay.
But thank you. Yes, born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska. My parents came up in the 70s, started in Delta Junction, came to Anchorage. That's where they currently reside, where I was born at Providence Hospital, which is still thriving and going to this day. I got into the hair industry actually at a very, very early age. I had a gift for just the styling and the creativity of the fashion of hair as early as like 10, with like braiding my own hair, just cute little styles, and then worked my way up, started doing my friend's hair when I was about 16, start charging them as a side little hustle, graduated from high school, earned my hairdresser license, and was in the industry for about 20 years.
Wow, 20 years. And in that time, you had the opportunity to create some hairstyles for me. We in Juno have to get on a plane to get our hair done because there's no Black hairstylist here, or those who can't of other cultures that can do our hair. So I had to get on a plane and come and see you. and you always did a great job.
I remember those days.
You remember those days.
Yes, I do. I get it.
Awesome. So you've already touched on the first question, why you chose the profession of hair or doing our hair. You said you started at an early age. And can you add just a little bit more to that? What gave you the, I guess, vision or even to open your hair salon?
Well, like I said, I did start at an early age. I had a very creative drive and creative edge on not only being a hairstylist, but entrepreneurship was taught at a very early age. You know, you're going to do something, be your own boss if you can. So with that being said, starting out within the hair industry and within Anchorage, Alaska, even though it was for the population that was in Anchorage at the time, there's still was a nice amount of hair salons that was catering to African Americans here within the city limits, but there was still room to grow as well. Mm-hmm. So that's still what led me to say, you know what, I could do this. You know, I had a vision, I had a goal, did not want to rely on an employer as my only source of income, but becoming the employer or just an entrepreneur and just working my way up to owning my own salon.
Kiala, this is Christina. Can you share with us some of the highlights of your career of being a hair professional?
Oh, most definitely. Thank you. Yes. So one of the highlights is, like I said, owning a salon, but the beautiful accomplishment of that is doing it before the age of 30. I set a goal saying, okay, I want to have my own hair salon by the time I was 29. And I did that. But however, prior leading up to opening my own salon, I started my own, at the time, wig hairline, or I shouldn't say wig hairline, installation units, being the manufacturer, one of those, during a time where it wasn't as mainstream that you see to the public how it is nowadays. It was, at the time, something that was just a little bit more exclusive, where it was actors or actresses or entertainers that was doing that to protect their hair from the sweating and the working out and the changes without having to damage their own hair. Subspecialty, and it was a rare subspecialty for good quality. You got into it to study that craft to, you know, make some nice, decent change from it. So starting my manufacturing installation units and opening up a salon before I was 30. And then also at the time, a beautiful promotional deals, giving away cruises, giving away trips, just to great advertisement commercials, just that marketing of that entrepreneurship, that getting it obtained on a, I call it my government cheese budget at the time, and still producing beautiful quality. So I do feel proud of that, those accomplishments during that time.
That's awesome. To set a goal, to have such a big goal and to accomplish it before 30 and then be successful with it, that's mm-hmm. really inspirational. Can you explain a little bit about the installation just for our listeners who may not know what that means?
Oh, most definitely. I call them unit installations because when we as men or women decide to have, some people use it as accessories, but a part of them that is installed, it's an investment. So it's one thing to say, oh, I throw on a wig, but certain people, their perception is it's more than just a wig to them. It's life.
Right.
You know, whatever that they're dealing with, that is their way of helping them get through that day, starting with their confidence and how they feel about themselves. So you don't necessarily invest in wigs, but you invest in installations and units and accessory pieces. So I guess no different in the medical terminology. We don't say that's a fake leg, that's a prosthetic leg. It's just a bougie way of saying that's a wig.
Okay, so to be clear, the installation is the professional putting on of the wig, basically.
It's not just putting it on, it's installing it. So some people have various ways of how they install it, where they use just a drawstring, or they sew it on, or they glue it down. You're just attaching it to the person's scalp or hair.
Perfect.
Yeah. Kiala, I remember coming into your salon, and you would have, and I'm just throwing this in while I'm thinking about it, I know that you had many senior clients, and they would be there on time every weekend or every other weekend, and they loved you.
Yes.
We loved you. Same hairstyle.
Oh, I remember those days. I remember those days.
Yeah.
This is Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well. I know we haven't had quite as much interaction as Christina and my mother here. Didn't know if you remember me or not. It's nice to hear you. Again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Had you ever considered branching out to smaller communities outside of Anchorage? Based on the fact that, you know, it's so hard even in Anchorage to get what you want?
At one point in time, I did consider it. However, trying to balance a business, daughter was very young at the time, being a mom, spouse, those roles and responsibilities, it just wouldn't provide balance into my lifestyle at that particular time.
Well, it was our loss, I'll tell you what.
it takes a lot out of you. It really does.
Yeah.
Being a hairstylist, physically demanding, it can take a lot out of you.
Yeah.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
It can be. It depends on how you work it. It can be for some people, and I have seen it work really well for some people, and some, they didn't get no juice. No Kool-Aid, nothing.
You'll do what you love. You never work a day in your life, right?
Yes.
Kiala, can you talk a little bit about the challenges of working with Black hair that maybe other hair professionals who work with hair that's not Black? I'm wording that all wrong, but hopefully you understand what I'm trying to ask.
I do understand what you are trying to convey. That is a very good question. There are universal challenges as a hairstylist in general.
Okay, let's talk about that first then.
Oh, it's a long list. I don't know if it's enough time. It was a lot of challenges, but it was worth every moment of them. I learned so much. Very appreciative of each and every one of those challenges.
I'll tell you what, I got services at your salon. My wife will tell you, I'm not a big fan of tipping anybody, but I always tip the person who cuts my hair. Without question, and well, but you're right. I mean, doing your hair it's makes you feel better about life. Can I ask you a question from a different angle? I have a daughter. She's 4. Her mother leaves town every once in a while for different things, and that it falls upon dad to do her hair. So, what's maybe some advice or some quick, if there is one, that a tip you could give a dad trying to do his 4-year-old daughter's hair? So that she doesn't look like Nappy
Roots
going to school.
Bless your soul. That should be done way more instead of putting that responsibility on that role on just one person. Yeah. You have to first tell her how beautiful her hair is in every phase, even when she wakes up in the morning.
Every day.
I say that because black girls, I've seen it from black girls to black women, how we think about ourselves, especially when it comes to our hair and what we deem as beautiful on us. Because what's commonly projected in the media, and when I see the media, internet, TV, magazines, whatever, even just whatever, visually, what we consider beauty and representation has gotten a whole lot better, but it still has a lot to go. Mm-hmm. So, but it starts also within the home and acknowledging no matter where she's at, when she wakes up first thing in the morning, it could be just free.
You're being kind.
I'm not going to say nothing negative. It's just being in its state that it's supposed to be in that time.
Yeah.
You capture the essence and the beauty of the coils and the curls and the patterns and looking at that and seeing the creation of how beautiful that is because that's a part of you. So that's first step. So second thing is learning how the correct products for her hair to have it go with the flow when you want to just detangle it and brush it in a ponytail and put it in a puff. It's all about knowing your texture and then having the product to support the texture and then go from there. Styling is on a whole different level. There's hairstylists that tell you they're not a stylist. They're good at cutting, coloring, or thermally straightening, whatever their craft is, but it may not be styling. So that's common, but knowing the products to support the texture of the hair that you're working with. That's the biggest tip I can recommend just to anybody.
That's funny you should say that because I believe the last time that, I know, the last time I had to do my daughter's hair, I definitely put just some grease in her hair because that's what I put in my hair, right? And I think, okay, well, there's a problem here and I need to fix it. Grease will do the job. It did not do the job. No, it did not.
It did not because that wasn't probably for her hair texture.
Yeah.
And if you understand the history of especially black hair in America, our history and how we adapted those products into why we're using, a lot of it is pros and a lot of it is cons too. It's not for us. Mm-hmm. We just use what we had to get by just to survive. No different than our food that was introduced in the Americas to us. We used that what we had to get by to survive does not mean it was healthy for us at the time. So re-educating yourself, that's one thing I had to learn if I wanted to really be the best about my craft at the time in the hair industry is what is my hair?
Yeah.
Because that's one thing, even in the hair schools that I went to, because the black population is very small, so the education and depiction on what the hair should be doing was on a straighter or straight hair texture. Sometimes it'd be a little wavy or a little curly, but never coily.
Mm. Yep.
And it's a difference. A huge difference.
No.
So re-educating myself about hair, learning the history of why we do the things we do, like putting grease in our hair, which is interesting because living in a climate in Alaska, we're a desert, that actually kind of does work for us because it kind of coats and keeps that whatever shine that you're trying to project, it protects it. Is it healthy? No, but it kind of works in our favor because we're in a desert, and desert is drying out. So that means it has some layers that got to get past just before it gets to our hair.
So, Kiala, can you tell us how one would determine the texture of their hair? I understand that there's different grades, and I don't know exactly, like, I don't know what mine is, but I've done a test where you take your hair, a strand of it, and I actually did it for my niece, who Michael's referring to. And you take the hair and you put it in a cup of water. And if it floats, it's like high porosity. And if it doesn't float, it's low porosity. And then that tells you the kind of products you can use in your hair. Can you talk a little bit about that? And is that like an old wives' tale? Like, did I do a good thing there or what?
Really? Tell her she's full of stuff, Kiala.
No,
that's
right. That is a very good question. Porosity, that is not an old wives' tale. That was something
you.
I was taught. It's very old school. Mm-hmm. It is about porosity and how much moisture.
That's right.
Your pH balance,
yes.
Basically. And it's not just with our hair, but you got to think about our body, too, like the type of lotion. Because, you know, growing up, I don't know about y'all, but growing up, we would say, lotion don't work like that on me. And
right.
Your mom would slap you down with Vaseline.
Vaseline, yes. That's right.
Yeah. Knees and elbows.
Because we live in a desert.
Yeah, that's true.
So you do want to know what type of porosity that you're dealing with, basically how much your hair absorbs moisture. And if it does absorb moisture too smoothly,
product,
you may not
right?
have to go as heavy
on
the product.
Thank you.
But if it
is,
but if it's not, if it's floating on top, then you can kind of open up those cuticles with water. Water is a pH that does help balance out our hair, and it opens up and it relaxes everything. When I mean by relax, not necessarily straighten, but like relaxing our muscles a little bit, letting it stretch its arms out. And then you can introduce certain products that have smaller molecular weight, the size of the molecule, to penetrate deeper into the hair. So you were on the right track.
Thank you.
Kiala, can you, for our listeners who don't know what grease is, they're probably sitting there like, what are they talking about? And I'll just add, I took a trip to further up north. I believe it was either Kotzebue or Bethel. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten which one. And I forgot my hair products. And at the time, I had a jerry curl. Okay, we might have to explain what that is, okay? And I didn't bring any of my black hair products. And I walked the aisles of the store there, and there was not even any Vaseline that I could use. And so I ended up getting some Crisco oil.
Mm.
And I used that in my hair for the week.
Yeah. You probably could have used some olive oil, too, right?
I wouldn't even think about olive oil.
Or a hat.
Yeah, so if you could, you know, just explain what grease is so that our audience would
That's
know exactly
hilarious.
What we're talking
hair grease. Shiny forehead on Easter Sunday. So you hit a good point. Historical-wise, within our culture, African-American culture, instead of the oils that was used from the motherland, pre-history lesson, pre-Atlantic slave trade and chattel slavery, we had the tools and the natural resources and the environment to support not only our hair texture, but our scalp, our skin. And when all that is stripped from you, you become an ingenuity on things that is going to get you through. So fast forward so many years, you are scarves to working in the fields, protecting your hair from spiders and bugs while you're working in the fields or going to bed. And then you're using leftover fat from some type of meat that you cooked to lubricate your scalp or your hair to detangle it. So that proceeding into so many years now, just re-engineering certain type of oils that we can put on our hair just to be able to style it, detangle it, and then proceed with styling and everything like that. So that's kind of like the history of grease. So when you said Crisco, that is history. That's ancestors coming out. That's beautiful. You're showing them some love. going back to that, something that's just lubricating it. So, like, we live in a desert. I have to reiterate that because it strips, it takes away, it just dries everything out. Even with certain Alaskan Native cultures, they use whale oil or seal oil to kind of help lubricate their hair or their skin because it's so dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if you are just joining us, we are here with Kiala Wesley, who is a former professional within the hair industry. And Kiala has just been helping us have this conversation about about our black hair. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back in a few moments. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I'm joined here today by Sherry Patterson and Michael Patterson, and we are having a conversation with our special guest, Kiala Wesley, a former professional within the hair industry, and Kiala is joining us from Anchorage, Alaska. We had this conversation about the social aspect of the hair salon when we come together as a people, or where we come together to get our hair done, and just share with our listeners what that means for us as a culture. Like, what happens in the salon? Why do we spend 10 to 12 hours in the salon and we're totally okay with it?
Oh, that is so hilarious. bring your lunch.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring the lunch.
Well, part of it is the craft does take time. Mm-hmm. Anything that is perfected, where you manifest something from your thoughts and make it into reality, that craft takes time. You want to take your time. I call it making love. Mm. You're making love to your craft.
Mm. Nice.
So part of it is that craft that takes time. And you don't want to rush that process, because if not, you know, you will get some clients complaining that the hairstyle didn't last the full time that you told them it was supposed to. And then another aspect of it I touch bases on is one of the places in our history, Black American history, where you can be unapologetically Black and feel the love. You don't have to be related. We have to understand where we're coming from, a world where we couldn't talk to one another freely. Mm. We had to be quiet, shut up, smile, even though we're in pain, and we couldn't express that pain. We couldn't get that out of there, how we're feeling, all that trauma. And so you coming to a world where there is no recording, there is no one telling you to be quiet, you won't lose your wages when you say, this person did this to me. Mm-hmm. Or you come from a place where you got harassed by the police or discriminated against, dealing with racism and prejudice. And when you verbally communicate it, there's either a financial or physical repercussions that you will have to deal with, where you go to a community where you can express that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always have to be negative. It's not always negative.
Right.
But you just go where you can express your thoughts, your feelings, and there's laughter.
Yes.
There is wisdom.
Yeah.
There is confidence boosting. It's like our free therapy session, because, you know, the medical industry and even the mental health industry it gotten a whole lot better, but at the time it wasn't supportive for African Americans.
Right.
And so this is our best way of getting that therapy, saying, you know, I'm going through this, and your barber knows 20 other people.
Right,
or your hairstylist, I know 20 other people that's going through it, but there's just this non-written, forbidden contract. We don't share everybody's business. So you go, you know, I would try this if I was you. And that's the advice that you get from your barber or your hairstylist.
Right.
You bring your children, the next generation, into this environment, and you see adults getting along.
Yes.
You see adults laughing, and they feel love because they get the attention, too.
Yes.
And they get wisdom. Mm-hmm. So it's an ancestral thing that I think that we, our ancestors, I'm a big advocate of the ancestors always come back because that's who we are. We are from them.
Yes.
And so the ancestors show up and say, this is pre-slavery. This is what we did. This is how we vibe together as a community.
I remember just walking in a salon or a barbershop, you know, taking my son, and we've never been there before, but we walked in mm-hmm. and we felt at home. And just could join in. The conversation was where we could just relax and be ourselves. Yeah. And it's an awesome world.
It's just a beautiful cultural aspect. Mm-hmm. It's not just about feeling good. It's about one of those times where we can be our authentic selves as a people coming together without feeling judged or being ridiculed.
Right, to be a part of, and I just love it. And I love what you shared with us during the break of how your daughter, she missed being in the salon. Would you share a little bit of that?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Well, Nala was telling me the other day, she's a kid that grew up in the salon.
Yes.
And she was just like, I don't know, Mom. I missed the salon. I said, you missed the vibe. You missed the environment.
Yeah, exactly.
You missed one
That's
side,
right.
Dad cutting hair, other side,
yes.
Mama's doing hair,
yes.
music playing,
yes.
two
yeah.
different topics,
yes.
and the attention
yep.
that she was receiving.
Yeah.
She was helping out. She was serving her community by taking out rollers and
yep.
serving tea and coffee.
Yep.
She
yes.
felt that love. And so that's
awesome.
One of those authentic
it.
Places that you can go to being authentically Black,
yes.
unapologetic.
Mm-hmm.
Energetically Black. Talk
oh,
about
honey.
Political issues that can be
girl.
Controversial.
Yeah.
It's a good experience.
It's a beautiful experience.
I said, I've always felt blessed when I get the opportunity to get to one. This hair salon.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's a beautiful blessing.
Love going to your salon
it
in
is.
Anchorage. Would wait all week.
It is.
And you guys are busy. And wait all week, and then you guys are busy. That's good. Business was good.
We were busy.
I ain't going nowhere else. Do a great job. And like you said, it's just an experience when you don't have that opportunity that often. Other places can be intimidating when it's like that, but it was never like that there.
It is. And what's interesting, especially living in Alaska,
mm-hmm.
like things that, you know, I noticed my cousins that live in Lower 48 and the bigger cities, they have more of an array of experiences
yep.
with Black culture, where Alaska, even though we have Black culture here, is still limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that Black culture at its finest, at its rawest, at its most beautiful is within the hair salon
mm-hmm.
or the barbershop.
Yeah.
So it's even, you crave even more if you live in more rural or outside of areas where it's very limited African-American community.
Yeah, the further south you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's less.
Kiala, I recently heard something about cornrows, and if you're not familiar with this idea, that's okay, but I thought that I would ask. I heard that cornrows used to be a way of mapping out, like, escape routes or something like that for slaves, and I don't know how true that is, but have you heard anything like that?
Yes. Our hairstyles has a very interesting historical journey. I always reference to pre-Atlantic slave trade or chattel slavery because our history doesn't start in the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. hairstyles, when it comes to braids, locks, updos, whatever we titled them, it was tribal, and those tribals represented status, married or the healer or royal status. So all that's lost when you're stripped of your culture.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes to the point where you're trying to survive. And mind you, colonizers, they studied us, but they still didn't know everything about us. And so part of it, putting rice in between the parts that you're braiding so you can survive the slave trade from the Africas to the Americas, because the rumors were spreading fast because colonization was growing really rapidly. Mm-hmm. If you get kidnapped, there's 9 times out of 10 not seeing your loved ones ever again. You don't know where you're going to go. You know how you're going to eat. You're not going to know how you survive. So those rumors was getting out there. You get to the point where you can't maintain it. It's matted. It has all kind of fecal matter, vomit, because you're on the ship. You can't tend to it, bad sores. It was unkept, so you lose your self-esteem until you start hearing these rumors of routes of escaping and trying to flee. Once you are in the Americas, you are enslaved, and you're trying to get out of slavery. You're hearing these routes. You're like, okay, put that on my scalp. Mm-hmm. Let this be a map. Let me follow this. I've heard of those rumors, too, of people braiding their hair up, and that is maps, no different than quilts, no different than Negro spirituals that we sing.
Yes.
Every resource that we used it.
Wow.
It's very powerful.
Wow.
When I reflect and think about that, sometimes I'm at a loss for words of what, as a people, we've overcome, and we still got a lot to overcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of why we're so sensitive about our hair when we're...
Most definitely.
Yeah, and it's a thing that I don't think that, well, I'll just say a lot of white people understand. It's like, well, it's just hair. Like, I've heard people say that, and it's like, you don't understand. Like, there's so much more to it. It's not just hair. Like, our hair has a history.
Correct. I did get a chance to listen to the previous part one of this podcast, which was really good. I really enjoyed it. And hair, for some reason, became political. It's just hair. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Why is it political?
Yeah.
You know, but white America, not just white America, because there's cultures that's not white that still don't understand our hair.
That's true.
And don't understand why it's so sensitive, because it affects our financial income.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know if you guys can, I'm assuming that you can, but growing up afro, how do you work in corporate America? I have locks.
Yeah.
How do I work in corporate America with locks?
Yeah.
Dreadlocks. Growing up seeing someone with dreadlocks, you would think they didn't bathe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They thought they were dirty or whatever. Mm-hmm. You are that person's dirty, let alone trying to get a job with some dreadlocks or afro or with cornrows. Negative stereotypes associated with cornrows.
Yeah.
Look like have a rap sheet of history.
That's right.
So that's why we're so sensitive to it, because of the microaggression we have to go through just to make a source of income on a daily basis, where other cultures that have hair texture that's similar, they don't go through those challenges.
So it seems like we're the only ones with that sort of hair, right? Like, I remember my grandfather saying exactly what you were saying. Mm-hmm. I wanted cornrows when I was 16 years old. Never forget it. I wanted them so bad. I think Allen Iverson had them at the time, something like that. And I really wanted some cornrows, and I wanted to just come back to school sophomore or junior year and have my hair cornrowed out. My grandfather was like, don't do that. Mm-mm-mm. Keep it short. Keep it neat. You don't need to look like a gangbanger. I mean, Allen Iverson was a multi-million-dollar phenomenal basketball player.
But they still saw him as
banger, right?
Yep. No,
banger.
They because of his hair.
And the NBA instituted a policy behind him, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And,
And it's not the hair about Allen. That's what got him, that made the world made it seem like he was a thug or not cooperative. It wasn't his hair. You know, what it came from was him being his authentic self.
Right.
Yeah.
And being prideful in being black, and not just black, urban black.
Yeah. I mean, he changed the game.
When you are proud of your blackness, that's where that social ridicule can come in at. That's where it's like, that's where certain people will want to challenge your financial status, especially if you're making a lot of money. They don't want that transitioning into the wealthy world.
Right, right.
I'm being nice.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
I'm trying to be, I'm trying to be PG. You know, I don't want to blow you guys' podcast up.
Nah, you're good. No, we just want to be real. We're and that's what this show is about. We're educating our community.
It's like, you know what? This world is changing, and if I don't change, I'm losing.
Right.
So how do I change? Yep. I got to get educated. And in order to get educated, you got to humble yourself.
Yes. And on this topic
and
in particular.
I would think so. I would think you would want to humble yourself so you can receive the knowledge to make you as a better person. So there are some things when it comes to truth or perspective of truth, it's not pretty.
No.
Anytime you're growing, it's painful.
Yes, that's true.
And it's a little different trying to, coming at it from the standpoint, like you say, of hair. It's truly is oftentimes just ignorance, because it basically means you just don't know. They honestly don't know. And so you tell them. I mean, I had a best friend, and he's Caucasian, and for a long time, he didn't know. And just until recently, we had a conversation when this whole George Floyd upheaval and all this social activists started coming up in this era. And me and him had some real deep conversations about race, and hair came up, and it was amazing. I think we both were like, whoa, like we've never had these conversations before. And I'm just assuming you know these things because you're my best friend for 30 years, you know? And so, yeah, he just didn't know. And people want to. We just give them opportunity to. I love that about this show.
Yeah, so when you have someone that you want to share a part of you, because our skin is not just who we are, our hair is just not who we are. We're just an array of beauty. Mm-hmm. There's not just that one thing. And taking the time to get to know somebody about that array of their beauty shows that person loves you. Mm-hmm. And they actually care about you, and they don't mind accepting that because it's not taken away from them. And hair is a challenging, even when it comes to within the Black community, how Black men view Black women when it comes to our hair. Mm. Thank God it's changed so much. It's gotten better. But, you know, it was more of the looser curl textures, or if she had naturally longer hair, or the colorism, lighter complexion, straighter hair, lighter eyes or whatever, those were considered beautiful, where you were more of the beautiful chocolate hue, shorter hair, coily, natural curls, or you wore your hair in dreadlocks, that wasn't considered beautiful.
Right.
Those things is transitioning and changing, where you're seeing, I love Black women. We're dope. Thank you.
Yes, we are.
We are. And the reason why I bring this up is because Black women, we stay persistent in saying, I don't care. This is who I am. You better like me or leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I ain't got time for you. And that's where that persistence of being more publicly with our natural hair. You see less and less relaxers. Mm-hmm. Now, you do see a lot of units and lace front still, but underneath, the women like, this is just a protective style. I love my natural.
Yeah.
Now, if they show it, that's a different issue. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But just getting out of the chemical aspect of it and loving their natural texture, and then seeing more and more men and African-American men loving on that as well. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I have been on that journey myself. I haven't had a relaxer in more than 3 years. I just decided I was going to just start over and go natural. And I do wear wigs like 95% of the time. But my hair underneath is well maintained. It's not that I don't want to show it. It's just in the climate that we live in, it's actually easier.
When you have a schedule and you don't have that time to put that effort into it. The blessing is I had the gift. So
yes.
I, was able to maintain my natural. But after a while, I was like, I ain't got time to put all this time into this hair. And it's beautiful. And I'm looking like beautiful Afro queen with this beautiful Afro. And then I wake up and half
yes.
of it's mushed
yeah, that's
on one
right.
side. It just, it ain't cute. It's just not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, but that's my perception of my beauty. However, I just didn't have that time. So I switched to locks. And then that journey alone was still a process of what I found is beautiful. I never had locks before. And I did the starter locks. I didn't do going from short to instantly long. No, I went through the process. I went through the process. And so, yeah, I'm saying that because I felt like there was this movie that came out, The Mighty Quinn with Robert Townsend. I felt like one of those characters on there. It wasn't cute. So went through that process and had to learn what is beautiful about myself, learning more and more how to love myself, loving my hair in that phase, in that stage, understanding why I decided to do that process. And embracing it more, finding and becoming more enlightened on what is beautiful to me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, on that note, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll just go ahead and wrap up the show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. We are just ending the discussion we've had today with Kiala Wesley about our Black hair and some of the history and just richness of this part of our culture. Kiala, is there anything that you would like to share with us in conclusion?
I am thankful and very honored and appreciate that you guys asked for me to come and speak on this platform, even though I no longer practice as a hairstylist. Hair is still a part of life, and seeing the beauty and the art and how we display, I call it like being in a sci-fi movie. Our hair defies gravity, water bounces off of it. We create these mind-blowing illusions from hair, the art of adding hair to it. It's very rich and very powerful, where it's still being duplicated but never appreciated by the originators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's still being duplicated, but the originators are still not getting their props on presenting that art to the world.
Well, we are so thankful that you were here with us. I know that I learned a ton today, more than I even bargained for. You've just been a wealth of knowledge and information, and we're so thankful to have had you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for asking. I really, really, really enjoyed this. Yes. It's such an honor.
It's phenomenal. Educational, yes. Everything. Yeah, you were great. And once it was phenomenal, educational, great, and once again,
you.
Still do frequent anchoring, so I know you're not in the business anymore, but maybe me and the wife stopped by the house, we can hang out for about 6 hours, watch a movie.
I totally understand.
If hair gets done, man.
I do, but you know, my work is signature, so I can't just do one because my old clients would be like, I know that work.
No, we'll stick
out. Y'all did your hair, huh?
No,
she told me she left the industry.
No, we'll sneak out. Okay, we'll do it Friday night, be on a plane Saturday morning.
They would know. And you know how they know? You got to take them pictures and post it all over your social media. You got to show off. You got your ducky. I get it.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you, hon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
And to our listeners, we thank you for joining us today. Culture Rich Conversations airs every Thursday at 3 o'clock p.m., and we will be here with you again next week.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.